Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Is anybody thankful to be in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday night? Is anybody truly thankful to be in God's house on a Wednesday night? I stand up on your feet for just a minute. Clap your hands, all ye people. Somebody shout unto God with a voice of triumph. If you're excited about living for God, if you're thankful to be in the safety of the house of God, let's give them praise one more time all over this place right now. Oh, God, we magnify you, Jesus. Praise God. It is an honor to be with this group. I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord. I'm thankful we've been blessed to be able to, me and Brianna have been traveling for the past couple years. But there's no greater honor than preaching to the people that raised you and preaching to the people that taught you Sunday school and preaching to the people that are responsible for everything that's good in your life. I am thankful to be in the house of God, but I'm more thankful to be at home tonight. Amen. We're going to read Genesis chapter 1, the book of beginnings. We're going to read Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Anybody thankful for your pastor? Amen. Praise God. We are a blessed people. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And if you can't find that, then we need to sit down and talk. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Just for a couple moments, I want to preach on this title, When God Moves and Speaks. When God moves and speaks. If you would put your Bible down, let's pray. Help me pray. Everybody lift up your voice. Mighty God, we love you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your provision, God. God, I ask that you would continue to move in this place like you already have, oh God. God, these are your people and they're a wonderful people, oh God. Give them a word tonight, oh God. Anoint my lips of clay, oh God. Let the words of my mouth, oh God, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, oh God. Jesus, you're my strength and my Redeemer, and God, we won't hesitate to give you the praise. And as you're seated, let's clap our hands one more time unto the Lord. Genesis, the very first book in the Word of God, and in our text, we're dealing with the first three verses. And the Bible is extensive, and there are so many details, so many points of inspiration and application. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we serve a God that is intentional. Somebody say amen. Amen. With each and every word, God is literally trying to tell us something. He doesn't waste words. In the first three verses, we can talk about many things. For example, the opening statement, in the beginning, God. Here we can launch a whole conversation about faith. And I've got so many questions. Who is this God? What does he look like? Where does he come from? But these are all questions that go unanswered in the conclusion of these verses. And here we find ourselves thrust in the arena of faith, and we understand that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And this is good. We can spend a lot of time talking about faith, but we're not going to talk about faith today. But I do want to focus our attention on the next two verses. The Bible says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And here we have nothing. It's a place of chaos. It's a dark place. It was a dry place. It was a place where potential seemed to be unreachable. For all intents and purposes, it was a dead place. But all of a sudden, something happened to the atmosphere. The Bible says that the Spirit of God moved and things begin to change. Let me stop right here and preach for just a minute that no matter the condition of your life, no matter how chaotic your life is, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, when God's spirit begins to move, things begin to change. Do I got a witness in the house right now that knows that it was a moving of God's spirit that ushered you into his presence? It was a moving of God's spirit that changed your life. Somebody say amen. And so we understand that nothing happens without a moving of God's spirit. Everything depends on the moving of his spirit. It is the moving of his spirit that causes nothing to become something. It is the moving of his spirit that makes dead things come alive. But there are some limitations to only having a moving of his spirit. The Bible says that the earth was without form. This speaks about order. There was no shape. It was chaotic. It was a place where God had to speak. I mean, God had to move upon the face of the deep. And the Bible says, talks about how when God moved, it spun things into motion, and this was chaotic. There was no form. There was no structure. And we serve a God who is a God of order. The moving of God's spirit won't bring order. It will not create form. But again, nothing happens without a moving of God's spirit. The Bible says that it was a dark place. A moving of God's spirit is not enough to turn the lights on. A moving of God's spirit is not enough to give light in this dark situation. It's not enough to bring vision where there was no vision. But again, God is intentional with everything that he does. The Bible says these three words, and God said, this is the creative word of God. This is what brings things into order. This is what brings form. It's what makes things take shape. God begins to create with his word. Do I have any Bible study teachers in the house that understands that when I continue to teach some Bible studies, that you can start to see people's lives start to take shape and start to take form? I'm in a Bible study on Wednesday night. At 12 o'clock every Wednesday, and it's with my accountant, and we're teaching this Bible study. And when I first started to talk to him, his life was a wreck, and it was a mess. And I started to do Bible study, and it was line upon line, precept upon precept, and I couldn't get him to go to the house of God, but I started digging out those Bible principles and implementing those things into his life. And you can see his life start to take shape and start to take form. You see, the word of God brings form, and the word of God brings structure. Does anybody believe that God's word is powerful? Does anybody believe that God's word is true? Does anybody believe that God's word is right, and God's word is real, and God's word we can stand upon? Does anybody truly believe in the word of God? And are you thankful for the word of God that is being preached into your life? Amen. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And now we have light, which is vision. Darkness was now the former state, but God has brought light. And now we can start to see things clearly. The Bible says that without vision, the people perish. But just like a moving of God's spirit, God's word can't work alone. These things have to work in tandem. These things have to work together. And so I'm doing this Bible study with my accountant, and the word is being stacked upon word. And there's a point where I'm getting to where he's getting the word and he's understanding the word. But now we need a dynamic moving of God's spirit in order to shape things, in order to bring these things to life, in order to make him live. And so he needs the Holy Ghost. And so we're digging out all of this stuff. And so let's see. I got lost in my notes. Just bear with me, but we're going to work through it. This Bible study, right? We can slow down a little bit. I'm moving a little fast. We need God's word, but we need a dynamic move of his spirit. And so this is the way God operates. God shows us the state of a situation, and then he gives us the remedy, and then he shows us the result of things applied. And so normally God will come to you and he'll show you where you're living. And then he tells you, this is how you get to the place where I want you to be. But if you don't do this, this is what will happen. And so God shows us the state of the situation and where we are. And then he gives us the remedy or the understanding of how to fix where we are. And then he shows us the result of things applied. This pattern is set early on through the word of God. We find Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 36. It deals with the restoration of Israel. And Ezekiel 37 deals with the restoration of Israel through the lens of a metaphoric valley of dry bones. This valley lies somewhere between Babylon and Jerusalem. And bones are scattered all across this valley. And God has brought Ezekiel to the valley of lost potential, the valley of no hope. This is a desert place, a place where there is no water, no wind, and certainly no moving of the spirit. The valley is a dry and a dead place. Ezekiel 37 in verse 1 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass them round about. And behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. And so here we find Ezekiel in the midst of this valley of dry bones. It is a place where nothing is alive. Years and years of decay, body upon body of dead bones. This is just like we observed in Genesis chapter 1. Potential that is untapped. Potential that is unreached. It seemed like all hope is lost. There is a lack of order that filled this valley. And these bones are scattered all across this valley. Then the creator of the universe says to Ezekiel, he asked him the strange question, son of man, can these bones live again? And I just put myself in that scenario and wonder if God was asking me, can these bones live again? I think I might have answered just like Ezekiel answered. I have no clue if they can live. But if anybody knows, God, you know. If anything is possible in this situation, it is by your hand. And I can't understand it and I can't wrap my mind around it. But God, when you start to put your hands to things, anything can come to life. Anything can happen. Everything is possible when you put God in the equation. Somebody say amen. So he asked him, can these bones live again? And he says, Lord, you know. And then God starts the pattern that stretches all the way back to the beginning of time. He tells him, prophesy to the bones. And Ezekiel begins to speak the word of God. And what happens when he speaks the word of God? When he begins to speak the word of God, all of a sudden there was a noise and there was a shaking. And the Bible says that the bones came together. Bone to his bone, which means that one is an arm of a man on this side of the valley, and there was the other arm of the man on that side of the valley. And when that noise happened and when that shaking happened, those bones came together, and the Bible says bone to his bone. And flesh began to cover the bones, and skin began to cover the flesh, and now we have bodies put back together. Here we have form and shape and order. Things are looking good. God's word has stepped in and took a chaotic situation and brought structure. Do you remember where you were when your life was out of whack, when you didn't have any structure, any form, and any hope? When God's word stepped in and God's word was declared over your life, and you started digging through the pages of God's word, and all of a sudden there started to come structure to your life and hope to your life and form to your life. Does anybody remember where you were? Oh, I'm talking to a group of sanctified people that don't remember where you were when God found you. But I need somebody to look back and remember where you were when your life was out of shape and out of whack and it had no form, and God stepped in right on time. And the preacher began to preach the word, and it started working on you, and your life started to come together. And at this point, Ezekiel could have said, I've seen enough. I can't believe what I just saw. This God is so amazing. His word is so powerful. But as we found out before, the word is not enough. The Bible says there was no breath in them. Amen. There was still no life. God understood the pattern set forth from the beginning of time, and God understood that there was still work to be done. He tells Ezekiel to prophesy to the four winds that they may breathe upon these bones so that they can live. And Ezekiel speaks to the wind as God commanded, and breath came in them, and they became alive and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Do you remember when God filled you with his spirit? Do you remember when you stepped into an apostolic service and the spirit of God was moving in that place and it started to breathe on your life, a life that formerly was dead, a life with no hope, a life with no potential? But God, when he began to move, his spirit filled you and you became alive. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful for the breath of God. I'm thankful for him moving upon my life. I'm thankful that every time I walk into the house of God, there is a dynamic moving of the Spirit. But I'm also thankful that there is the word of God that can help me have shape and form and understand the chaos in the moving of the Spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. So what are you trying to say, young preacher? God sent me to tell you that in order to have revival, we have to have the word of God, but we also have to have a dynamic moving of God's spirit. It is the creative word of God that brings a person out of chaos. The word of God sets order. The word of God gives shape to a shapeless life. The word of God helps us make sense of this thing called life. So, pastor, preacher, Bible study teacher, you keep teaching the word of God. You keep doing the things that you're doing. Don't get weary in well doing. There's something that's going to happen as you teach the word of God. But you also need to bring them to the house of God, or even in your Bible study, to a place where the spirit of God begins to move. I'm not naive enough to think that only God's spirit can move in the house. But in your Bible studies that you're teaching in somebody's living room, God's spirit can begin to move. Amen. I was teaching a Bible study to a guy named Robert that worked for me and Josh. And I'll never forget, we started talking about the Holy Ghost in the Bible study. And we were sitting down in the Bible study room. And we started dealing with the Holy Ghost. And he had a lot of questions about what it was. And he wanted to know about it. And he wanted to receive the Holy Ghost. And I said, Robert, you know, we don't have to wait till we get in a red hot service for you to receive the Holy Ghost. You can stand up right now, lift up your hands, and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. And right there in that room, in that Bible study, he began to lift his hands, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, this is not the only place that God's spirit is confined to. Yes, we need to have it hot in here, but in your Bible study every week that you're teaching, God's spirit needs to move. God's spirit needs to penetrate in that place while you're teaching the word, so those two can start to work in that individual life. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 that God formed man from the dust of the ground. But when man became form, he was not alive. Man only became alive when God breathed into him. And so I believe that all of us have the breath of God when we're born. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And I believe that there is a spiritual death that happens in you at the point that you sin. And so the charge is to try to find life and try to live again. And we understand that that's the Holy Ghost. And we understand that that's coming to the house of God so God can breathe on your life and so that you can become alive, or the Spirit can start to dwell in you. Can somebody say amen if you're thankful for the Holy Ghost tonight? He didn't just breathe breath, but God breathed spirit into man, and he became alive. And there are a lot of people whose lives you can observe that might not be apostolic, that might be just people that you know on your job. And their life doesn't look chaotic. And their life seems to have all the structure, and their life seems to have form, and they look like they have it all together, and they may go to church. But if there's no spirit, then they're dead men walking. They're merely shells. There's no life, no wind, no breath, no spirit. But what separates us from them, what makes this apostolic message apostolic, it is the moving of God's spirit that brings life where there was no life, that changes a situation on a dime, that causes one who was bound to be delivered. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, the captives are set free. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and there is liberty. And you can walk, and he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Am I preaching to anybody tonight? Do you remember where you were when you were locked up and chained up? You didn't know left from right. You didn't know up from down. You didn't know where you were going. But God's Spirit began to move on your life, and you started to get the Word of God in you. So every time we come together, this has to be our mindset. God's Spirit has to move. And we've got to make it personal. I don't know what you do around the church, but if you're a singer, you have a job. You're not just singing a song, but you are facilitating an atmosphere conducive to revival and an atmosphere conducive to God's Spirit moving. If you are a Sunday school teacher, when you teach those kids, it's not just another Sunday school lesson, but it is literally the intersection where heaven meets earth. I can remember Sunday school classes. So don't take days off. Don't think that these kids aren't listening or they're too young. I'm telling you, something can spark in those kids as you invite God's Spirit to come in that room and you hook that up with the Word of God. There is something that can start to form in a young man or a young lady. So you keep teaching those Sunday school lessons, and you keep teaching those Bible studies, and you keep doing the will of God. When we're here, when we come into this place, if you're just a saint, if you don't have any type of responsibility, you still have a job to do. You've got to facilitate an atmosphere conducive to revival. You have to understand who you are and understand your worth. God died for you on the cross. There's a purpose for your life. There's a plan for your life. I don't care who you are under the sound of my breath. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. I know you're thinking, not me, maybe somebody else, but I'm talking to you. And I'm telling you that God has purpose for your life. God's got a plan for your life. I don't know what God wants you to do, but it's going to be a big deal. But you've got to get on board with the Spirit of God and with the Word of God and let them work in your life and watch God do marvelous things in your life. And so we've got to understand that this is important, and this is something that God tells us to do. This is something that we have a mandate to do. You are Christ's manifestation in the earth right now. When people see you, they should see Christ. When people see you, they should know the way to get to Christ. At your job, at your school, in your neighborhood, wherever you go, you bear the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 5:20 says, now and then we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. And so everywhere you go, wherever you're standing, you are bringing kingdom of God wherever you are. When you're at your job, don't just think of it as just punching the clock and punching out and thinking that you're just there to make money. I'm telling you that God has you there for a specific plan and a specific purpose. And you've got to get about the business of the kingdom and understand that I bear the name of Jesus. And I bear everything that is founded upon the word of God. And when I come into that place, I am bringing kingdom of God in that place. Somebody say amen. Everywhere you go, you represent his kingdom. You might ask, how do I, little I, affect change in the areas where I stand? And we understand this because it's preached all the time, but I'm going to preach it again. But the only way that we can affect change is by three portals. The first one is prayer. The second one is worship. And the third one is the word of God. This is how we go from the natural realm to the supernatural. It is the portals that we access the kingdom. And so when we go out in prayer every single day, we are effectively accessing, escaping this world and the norms of this world and the mundane minutiae of the day. And we are ascending to another dimension, which is through prayer, through a portal that God created for us to reach out from this world. And when we go out, what we're doing is we're going out and getting new information, new understanding, revelation, all the things that God has for us. And we're bringing them back to the house to affect positive change. And so as we go out in prayer, we are affecting positive change for the kingdom because of the things that God is giving us in prayer. You see, it's not just for the pastor to pray. It's not just up to the leaders to pray. But God has something for you in prayer. And I know you know that because this is a praying people. But continue to go out in those portals. Continue to touch heaven. Go out in prayer. And when we come into the house of God, we come together collectively and we bring our prayers to the house of God and we pray for revival for the city. And when Brother David comes and he sits down his prayers for revival for the city, then Brother Corey comes and he sits down those prayers and it's compounded as we bring our individual fire to the altar. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? And when we come to church, we come to church and we worship. And this is important because we are creating an atmosphere so somebody can come in and their life can be changed. What would have happened if you walked into this place and there was no moving of the Spirit? You would have walked back out, said that was a nice service. I didn't feel anything. I didn't understand anything that they were talking about. There was nothing that moved on me. I probably won't be back. But when you walk into the house of God and everybody's got the mindset that we have to touch heaven tonight, I don't care if it's Wednesday night, if it's Sunday morning, if it's Sunday night, every single service, we can't take time off. Your loved ones are out there in this city. There are people on your job that need to hear the truth of God's word. They need to feel a moving of his spirit every single time that we come together. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so worship begins to be more important than just your individual worship. But it's not just about having worship and having prayer at the house of God, but you've got to take this home. And you've got to do this at home, because what happens is if you're only coming and worshiping and praying and reading the word of God here, then you're not bringing anything, you're only taking. But when you come prayed up and you come and you've already had worship in your home, and your children see you worship God in your home, and they see you crack open the word of God. I was in Bible study Thursday with Brother Charles and Sister Chrissy. This was funny to me. And we opened up the book. I put the chart up. And one of the little kids said, "We going to Bible study again? We just did this last week." But what they're doing is they're creating an atmosphere. And I understand it. I wasn't offended or anything. I said, they might be saying what the parents are thinking. Another Bible study with Brother Jermaine, man, let's go. But it's important that we bring word of God into our homes, and that we bring worship into our homes, and that we bring prayer into our homes. And as we do that, as you pray at home, and you bring that collective prayer and that fire, and as you worship at home, and you've already been out in the portals that week, and so absolutely the service is going to be dynamic. So when your loved one walks in the back door, you don't have to worry, is the church going to be on this game tonight? Is the church going to be hot tonight? Is it going to be a place to where they can receive God, and God will move in spite of us. God will move. No matter whether you prayed or not. And that's the scary part. Because God will still do it. Amen. It could be a dry, dead service, but this is an apostolic church and we're preaching the truth of God's word. And somebody can walk in and they can receive the Holy Ghost and get every single thing that God has for them. But why don't we make it easy for them? Why don't we help God? Why don't we come to this place fired up, on fire, prayed up, worshiped up, read our Bible? We've done everything throughout the week so that when we bring that to the church, it's on another level. Somebody say amen. Amen. The strength of the church is only as strong as the individuals that make up the church. And so I've been around a little bit, and we're a blessed people. And we've got a really, really strong church. But when I look throughout the church, the culture that has been created here is that everybody is a minister. Amen. And that as you walk throughout life, you are ministering and you are carrying Bible study charts. That is a foreign idea to a lot of people.
That's right.
And that blew my mind when I started to see some of that stuff and started to see where everybody didn't feel like they can teach a Bible study. But early on, Brother Sutton would tell us to teach a Bible study. And so I started teaching a Bible study. I didn't know what I was talking about. Still don't, but we're working on it. So I started going to people's house. I'll read it right off the page. That's right. But what I was doing is building confidence. And what Bible study teaching does for you is it puts it here and it puts it here. And as you continue to do that, you're learning yourself. I learned more by teaching than I ever did by sitting in a Bible study. And so when you start to get out there and putting your hands to the plow and saying, Brother Cliff, I know you filled up with Bible studies. I want to take two of those off your hands. They're right, Brother Thomas.
Correct.
That's right. Two Bible studies I want to take from you, Brother Cliff. I'm going to teach them throughout the week. And you start to do that, and you start working that, and you start learning the word of God for yourself, because you're not just saving somebody else, but you're saving you. But in doing that, you're going to reach others, and you're going to touch their lives. But everybody in this room can teach Bible studies, and we have to teach Bible studies. In order for our church to double, I think that everybody's got to get on board with teaching Bible studies and witnessing. You might not teach Bible studies, but you can tell somebody on your job, you need to come to the house of God. I know some Bible study teachers that'll show you precept upon precept, line upon line, and it'll change your life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so we've got a mandate to go out in these portals and continue to affect change, because we can't do anything from where we stand unless we go out in those portals, grab that information, bring it back to the house, and strengthen the church. And as we do that in prayer, worship, and word of God, and as we work on ourselves daily, we improve every area that we operate in. And so as you go out in those portals, Sunday school teacher, you become a better Sunday school teacher. If you're a preacher, you become a better preacher. If you open the door, if you're an usher, if you take up offering, everything that you do will go to another level, because you are operating in the Spirit of God and the anointing is on your life. And because you're going out in prayer and you're going out in worship and you're going out in the Word of God. And so we have to do this. We've got to facilitate a touch of God every single service. The people in this city are coming. And the question is, will they be able to reach God? Will the Spirit of God be moving in this place? I never forget, 20 years ago, my mom was in church, and we were going to an apostolic church, and I remember my dad was an alcoholic, and you guys have heard the story before, but I remember something started to change in my dad, and we had some family members. My Aunt Faye was going to an apostolic church, and we had my grandmother, I think, was about to start going to an apostolic church. And we had people already moving in that way. And I remember my mom would pray for my dad and pray for my dad. And she would continue to pray and nothing would happen. And one particular day, I remember my dad started to turn and started to change. And God was working on his heart. And I remember him telling my mom, we can go to church, but we need to find a church that we all like. And so that pulled us away from the church we were going to. And I think my mom was following the moving of the spirit of just trying to move with what God was doing. And so we started visiting church after church. I can't tell you how many churches we went to. I was tired of church. We would go to Baptist churches. We would go to Methodist churches. We would go to all of these churches. I remember one church we went to, they took communion every service. The kids, we did too, and I didn't understand it. And so it was so different from what I was used to. And I remember my Aunt Faye moved to Clarksville, Tennessee. And when she moved to Clarksville, she found a church that Brother Gary Ellis, you guys might be familiar with him, he pastored in Clarksville. And when we went to that church, my dad went to that church, and he said, man, I love this church. And after the service, he said, this is the type of church I want to go to. And he talked to him, and he said, is there any churches like this in Birmingham? And Brother Ellis pulled up this list. He said, okay, I'll give you all of the churches in Birmingham. And at that point, he wasn't connected with Brother Sutton at all. And he gave us that list. And the first church that was on that list was New Life. And I remember we walked into the church. And going to those other churches, I remember there wasn't much changing about my dad's lifestyle. And I remember walking into New Life. And he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
All right.
And the Spirit was moving. But that never would have happened if the church wasn't operating under a moving of God's Spirit. And if Brother Sutton didn't get up and preach the word so that it'll make sense. You see, when people come in and they get the Holy Ghost, we need people to teach them what they got. Because they can get the Holy Ghost. We see it all the time and they just walk out. But if somebody can get a hold of them and we can tell them, this is what you received. This is what's happening. And so that's why you got to have both. You got to have a moving of God's Spirit. But you've got to have the Word of God. I'm so thankful that there was an apostolic church in this city that were praying and that were reaching God and that were willing to go the extra mile and that weren't okay with just saying we're just going to have another service. But that were ready for visitors that came in and greeted them and told them that your life can be changed. Your situation can be changed. Whatever you've been through, it doesn't matter. When you step into the house of God, when you step into an apostolic church, when you hear the preaching of the truth of God's word, your life will change. It'll start to take shape. It'll start to take form. And the moving of the Spirit will do something miraculous in your life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'm almost done if everybody will stand. I'm so thankful that we're still in New Life today. My dad's sitting right back there in the back. My Aunt Faye's back there outside. I'm thankful to be in the house of God. I'm thankful to be in a dynamic apostolic church where I can bring my family, where I can bring my friends, where I can bring people I work with, because we've got the remedy. We've got the remedy. Mark chapter 5. Is the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And for 12 years, she struggled with this issue of blood. She would go to a doctor, and the doctor would say, you need to try this, and it didn't work. And she would go to another doctor, and the doctor would say, you need to try some of this, and that didn't work. And another doctor, and it was doctor after doctor, and she was spending a lot of money to try to get healed. And one day, she heard that there was a man named Jesus passing through. Amen. And he's in the middle of a crowd, and she walks up in the street and sees him in the street. And I'm sure at this point, she was probably small from being sick. The Bible says that she pushed her way through the crowd. She said these words, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, then I can be made whole. And so she pressed her way through the crowd, and finally she touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says that Jesus looked around and said, who touched me? And they said, well, Master, there's people all around you. What do you mean, who touched you? If there's a crowd, there's a lot of people. Everybody's touching you. And he said, no, this was a different touch. He said, because I felt virtue flow out of me. What are you trying to say? We've heard this a million times. What I'm trying to say is that there's a difference in being in the atmosphere where God is and actually touching him and actually helping facilitate other people touching him. And so what we've got to do every single service is facilitate an atmosphere where your friends and your loved ones and all those that you want to see saved can touch him. We've got to come to the house of God with a made up mind every single service that no matter what happens, I've got to touch him. And I've got to help other people or somebody else touch him. Right now, let's come around the altar and let's pray. I'm done preaching. If you're thankful for the Holy Ghost, why don't you come and thank God for the Holy Ghost? If you're thankful for his word, why don't you come and thank God for his word? If you're thankful just to be a part of a dynamic apostolic church, why don't you just lift up your voice right now and cry out to God and thank him for being a part of an apostolic church? Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify you, O God. We exalt you, Jesus. You're worthy to be praised, O God. My yalaboko, my tayalabo shete te yeri o si. Itata yalaboko.